remember singing. I just cannot imagine in my mind not being able to come to the house of God on Sunday. And again, sometimes we're limited by that, if sickness or whatever it might be, the pandemic as it is coming in. But I tell you, I get my heart stirred every time I come, regardless of how many folks we have here. I'm grateful today to be able to hear the wonderful singing, and I appreciate again so much of you being here. And also, I want to say thank you to those that are listening, as well as those here. I tell you what, our church has been amazing. People have been mailing in their tithe. Many have been coming by and bringing it, and I've gone and picked up some, and it's just amazing. Our people are concerned that the church continues to function and without any problem, and I'm so grateful, and I appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you so much for your concern about the church, and again, one day, we're looking forward to being back together again. Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3, verses 9 and 10. We'll be looking at that in a moment, but the subject today, I want you to think about with me, and I believe with all my heart that we're living in the last days. I know you said, preacher, I've heard that preached all my life. I know you have, but let me bring you up to date on some things that have happened just this week. And again, somebody said, I believe we're so close we don't need to look at the signs. We need to listen for the shout. And I tell you, I believe that the Lord is coming soon. I believe his time is limited. And I appreciate the opportunity we have to worship him. And I wouldn't want to be found anywhere except doing the work that he's called me to do right here at Victory Baptist Church. This week alone, as I mentioned to you on Wednesday night, we understood that there was a tornado that went through Alabama this week. I believe it was this week. It might have been last week. My days are running together when you stare at the four walls all day. But a tornado went through over in Eufaula, Alabama. And some people that we had met, Mr. Mickey Miller, that helped me with the Lane funeral, their house was struck by the tornado that came through. Fortunately, they're okay, and we're grateful for that. Another tornado touched down around Madison, Florida this past week, where my friend lives, right in the area that they were in. They too were not hurt, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm grateful for that. Then again, we heard the other day that there had been an earthquake out in Montana and Idaho. And again, we think about it. We don't know too much about earthquakes here, but they've experienced them there. But they had an earthquake. Yesterday, I got a text from Cal. He's out in Palm Springs, California. He's out there working. He was in the hotel. And he said, last night, we had an earthquake. He said, I felt it. It was a 2.8 magnitude. I guess he must have been half asleep. He said, I thought it was an unbalanced washing machine in the hotel. I don't know that it would have shook the hotel, but fortunately, it sounds like he's okay, and we're grateful for that. You say, well, what about all that? I tell you what about it. If you read your Bible, you'll find that in the last days, those things are going to begin to take place. And I tell you today, we as Christians better sit up and take notice and understand that I believe Jesus is coming soon. I know today people say, well, I've heard that all my life. Yeah, you have. But the fact of it is, we've heard all our life we're going to die too. And you know what? We are going to die. I don't know when. Thank goodness for 70 years I haven't. But the day is coming when I'm going to pass from this life into the next. And the day is coming when Jesus is coming again. I want to just give you some thoughts this morning. And I want you to think about whether you'd be ready when Jesus comes. What a wonderful privilege it is to come on Palm Sunday and to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but to talk about his returning. I tell you today, I wish, even as John said, even so, come Lord Jesus. I've used this in the past, and if you remember it, you forgive me for it. It's been a long time. But somebody took this poem, and they turned it into a little bit different of a poem, but it makes a great deal of sense. Most of you know the poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse." Well, this poem doesn't go that far, but here's what it said. "'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through a house, not a creature was praying, not a single one in the house. Their Bibles were laying on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing their head. And Mom in her rocker with the baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away in the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw open the sash. And when what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just like he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him, in spite of myself. In the book of life, which he held in his hand, was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head bowed in shame. The people whose names had been written in love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I'd waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as he rose out of sight. Oh, if only I would have been ready tonight. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find this old Bible was true to us all. Friend, I believe today Jesus is coming soon. I want you to look with me, if you would, and the title of the message today is Perhaps Today. I want to tell you something. I long to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, well, preacher, I want a little bit more time. I'm going to tell you something. This world is going to get nothing but worse in the days ahead. And the greatest thing that could happen to us would be for Jesus to come back and to take those who are saved home to be with him. However, it would be sad to know that some of our friends, some of our neighbors, some of our work companions would not go because they never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Look with me, if you would, at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Lord, today, I don't know of any place I'd rather be than in this pulpit preaching this book to these people for you to call us home to be with you. Lord, what a joy that would be. Thank you, Lord, for these folks who have come this morning. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to come even though we're having to maintain a distance and, Lord, we're having to abide by the rules which we surely want to do. But, Father, help us today. Lord, speak to the hearts. I realize this morning I'm not speaking to just the people here. I'm speaking to people perhaps all over. And I pray today that if Jesus come, that you know that your heart is ready and that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Father, guide and direct, we pray. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. When I begin to read my Bible, I find there's three classes of people that think different about the matter of the Lord coming back again. And I want to look at that this morning and I hope it'll be a blessing. We're going to be staying pretty close to 2 Peter, so if you'd like to turn to some of the scripture, in fact, some of it you just have to look across the page. But I want to give you who those three type people are. The first one, there's those who deny the realness of his coming. Those that deny the realness of his coming. Peter began chapter 2 by reminding us of the presence and the activity of false prophets. He said in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Friend, just as much as there was false prophets in the Bible and in the day that we find was being written here, we understand there's false prophets in the day and age in which we live. Almost every year, in spite of everything, we find that there's new cults that are rising up every day. There's people that are doing everything to get your attention, to get your money, to get you to follow them. And friend, today, I'm not here to get you money. I'm here today to tell you that God is real. I'm here to tell you that his son Jesus died on the cross for your sin. I'm here to tell you today that only those who put their faith and trust in him will be saved and go to heaven. And I'm here to tell you today that he's really, really, really coming again. And one day, I believe there's going to be a lot of things you may not remember, but I believe you'll remember like never before the message that you hear this morning that reminds you of how important it is to get away from those who teach false truths and go to those who are teaching the Word of God and those who are leading people in the right way. Most false preachers, they're preaching to flatter you, to tell you how good you are. Friend, I tell you, I wish I could tell you how good you are, but my Bible says there's none good. No, not one. It said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. All our righteousness is filthy rags, have faded as a leaf. And listen today, we are not good. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly this morning, but friend, only God is good. And God is good all the time in all that we do. Not only do they try to trick you into flattery and tell you how good you are, but they go a step further in describing the fact that they are interested also in your financial ability to help them. I saw this week where a televangelist that was very popular years ago was arrested, and he's selling some kind of an oil. I'm going to take it easy on my voice. I think I'm straining it a little bit too much, but he was selling some kind of a cream that you put on your body, and it was supposed to take care of the coronavirus. Well, I'm going to tell you something today. I don't have a cream for the coronavirus, but I got an answer for the coronavirus, and it's found in the Word of God. Their conscience dulled. Their aim is deception. And if you look quickly at their description, you'll find out what they were talking about. The false prophets, first of all, had methods that were deceptive. I wonder, you know, and again, please understand, this is my philosophy. I didn't get this totally out of the book. And I'm just sharing with you some thoughts that go through my mind. But I believe God is in control of everything, don't you? Don't you believe God knows what's going on and he knows every case and every person that is contracting the disease? But we know he's coming. But I thought of the day as I was preparing the message, and this may be cruel to say, but you reckon maybe God is ready to send his son Jesus back to earth? And he said, well, I think I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to send a pandemic, and I'm just going to see who of my people really, really trust me and love me and are faithful to me. And again, I must emphasize, I'm not talking about people with health problems staying home from church. But I am talking about people that look for excuses not to go to church. In fact, it don't have to be a pandemic. If anything else arises, they're ready to do it. But notice, if you would, in verse 1, he speaks of them as those who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, there's some cults, and I call them cults because if they don't tell you the truth, that's exactly what they are. But there's some cults today that'll tell you that Jesus isn't coming. They'll also tell you that there's not a heaven and there's not a hell. They'll also tell you that you just live the best you can, and when we leave here, we'll be annihilated. I can tell you they're lying to you, and you better understand what the truth of the Word of God says. Now, false teachers, they intertwine truth into their message. But yet they twist it in some way in order that they might take away the truth and deceive you into believing something that is not real. Look at verse 3 of 2 Peter, chapter number 2. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make mercy merchandise of you. I'm telling you today, and I appreciate what's going on, but even in this situation here, we've had people that are trying to take advantage of people in many ways. There's people trying to take advantage of people with the mask. They're trying to take advantage of people with sanitizer. Many people have jacked the prices up. They're doing everything. It makes no difference to them. You know what? They're trying to make merchandise. Friend, I'm telling you today, feigned words. You know, the word feigned comes from an English word, which means plastic. You know what plastic is? Plastic can be bent. It can be... It can be moved around, and that's exactly what the false teachers are doing. Look at verse number 18, what it says about them. For when they speak with great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Years ago, I had a family that was in my church before I pastored here, by the way. And they told me they moved to another city, and I'll not say where it's at. And they joined a church, and it was a large church. And one day I asked them, I said, well, how's things going? They said, well, it sure wasn't like our church here. And I said, well, you know, sometimes it's hard to find a church just like we are. You know, I'm not saying we're any better, but we are different, I believe. But here's what she said. She said, our pastor preaches a social gospel. Well, the first thing I said, and maybe I shouldn't have, but I said, well, I'd get out of there as quick as I could. I don't know that they appreciated that, and I don't know why they were staying, and she was being very critical of the fact that they did. But I'm going to tell you something. Churches today are not preaching the truth of this book right here. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. They're afraid somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. But you know what they're doing? They're sending people to hell by the droves because they're not preaching the truth that God has for us. They speak with high-sounding words, but there's no substance. The objective of them is to make merchandise of you. Look in verse 3 again. He said they use feigned words which make merchandise of you. The reason bring these false prophets so cleverly, present their false teachers, that they want to exploit you any way you can. I've been trying to check on people, but I tell you what, I've not called anybody and said, where's your tithe? I believe that's between you and God, and I believe if you're right with God, you'll do what God wants you to do. But I can tell you this, I'm not after your money other than to continue doing what we do. Friend, it costs money to operate the church, and great, thank God he's provided our needs abundantly. But friend, today we ought to want to give because God gave so much to us. Not only do we find them deceptive, but we find false prophets destructive. In verse 1, they say damnable heresies. Destruction and loss, it applied here, is talking about eternal life. Damnable loss, if I tell you anything that would keep you from going to heaven, that's a damnable heresy. And friend, I would be responsible to God when I stand before him and give an account of the words that I've spoken. The destruction is loss of eternal life. Friend, you may not know it, but hell is full of religious people. Hell is full of people that go to church on a regular basis. You said, preacher, I don't think that's very nice. It's not very nice, and it breaks my heart. But friend, today what I'm telling you is we're living in a world, and we're in some kind of a bubble. We're in some kind of a cloud, and we don't understand that what the Word of God says is true, and it will come to pass. We must listen to what he has to say. Peter begins the chapter by stating that the prophets were literally, go to the last part of verse 1, even denying that the Lord bought them. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I'm going to glorify God in my body, which is his. Friend, I'm turning it all over to him. They were denying the person and the work of Christ and the substitutionary death for their sins. And in that denial, they were talking, literally doing away with the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Friend, I'm telling you, we churches better get back to singing, what can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood loose all their guilty stain. Friend, I'm telling you today, we better continue to preach the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth. Yes, next Sunday, and not next Sunday only, but all year long, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And now him seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. When men deny the deity of Christ, they quite naturally deny his coming. Friend, today, if you don't tell me you believe the Bible if you don't believe Jesus is not, if you believe he's not coming again. I'll tell you, I don't want to argue with you, and I'm not going to, but I can just tell you this. You're wrong, and one day your eyes are going to be, I wonder what it's going to be like. I wonder this morning, think where you are, what you're doing. If the Lord, the shout sounded and the trumpet blew and God came and sent his son Jesus right now to take us home, I wonder what would be the thoughts. It's going to happen in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. And I'm not sure how much thought we can have in that instant, but I believe somewhere along the line we'd have thoughts about what our relationship was with him. And then if that happens, you know, you hadn't heard much about the earthquakes. You hadn't heard much about the tornadoes this week because we've been covered up with COVID. But I tell you, I'm not waiting. I started to say I was waiting to hear the news report that people had disappeared. Oh, I'm not waiting to hear it. I'm planning on being gone with it. But somebody one day is going to wake up and they said a strange thing happened last night. They'll probably try to blame it on coronavirus. They'll probably think people just dissipated and went away. They'll come up with some excuse. But friend, how lonely it's going to be for those who are left behind because they did not believe in the realness of Jesus Christ. Then second of all, there's those who doubt the nearness of his coming. Preacher, I believe Jesus is coming again, but I just don't know how soon. Well, let me tell you, people from way back have looked for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in the 19th century, a farmer by the name of William Miller, he had a group of people, a religion. They had some followers. They were called the Millerites. By the way, you always be skeptical of a preacher that names his church after another preacher or of himself. There's people that have named their churches after another preacher, but I think I had rather not do that because there's no preacher that's on the equality with what the Lord Jesus is. But anyway, the Millerites, he was notorious about setting dates when Jesus would come. And so he said on March 21st, 1842, Jesus is coming. So they got ready. They prepared themselves. They went out. They waited. March 21st came and went. March 21st, 1843 came and went. They still hadn't come. He said, well, obviously Jesus did not return as I'd predicted, but I just miscalculated. So he recalculated again. He said the time Jesus is coming, October the 20th and October the 22nd, one of those 2 days in 1844. And literally, March 21st and 22nd came, Jesus didn't come. March 23rd came, and Jesus didn't come. Well, 5 years later, Mr. Miller died, and they put on his tombstone a very wise words, at the appointed time, the end will come. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, man's foolish, and I don't want you to misunderstand me today. I have no idea when Jesus is coming, and I'm not predicting that he's going to come today or next week or next month or next year. All I'm saying is he could. And I want to be ready when he does come. And yet we find there are many who have crawled out on a prophetic limb. They've sawed off the limb behind them by making predictions. I remember back in the 70s, there was a guy that used to come around to independent Baptist churches. And he was quite a prophecy preacher. He could keep you spellbound. I tell you, literally, he could scare people into getting saved, which I hope they got saved. But he literally was scaring people. But he predicted the Lord would come back in the 70s. And then he started predicting he'd come in the 80s. I don't know where he is today, but I tell you what, the Lord hadn't come back, and he still don't know when he's coming back, and neither will he ever know. Many indicators that his coming is drawing nigh. Just as I've said earlier today, we have so many things that prove to us, I believe, that we're living in the last days. Somebody said, man, the economy right now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to tell you there's going to be a lot of people. In fact, right now, I don't even see how our country is keeping up with all the unemployment of people that have filed for unemployment. And I'm going to tell you what, I hate to say it, but I believe there's people that are taking advantage of it and using it for their benefit. And they don't understand they're breaking a country. And one day, the news is going to say, sorry, but the government's broke. And nobody gets anything else. But I tell you what, I don't know if I'll still be here or not, but if I do, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, we find another sign. The Bible said, knowing this first, before the coming of the Lord, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. I tell you today, People are still making mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, nobody around here is. Well, pretty much. I hate to say it, and I mentioned it, some folks come in a while ago. But I tell you what, we realize we can't go to church, and I know we got to go to the grocery store to get groceries. But every Saturday, every day, I come to the church to check the mail. And I go back straight back home. Fortunately, we've not had to go in a store for a couple of weeks thanks to some folks that have actually gone for us that was going. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate them doing it. But you know, you stop and think about it. Yesterday, we rode through the parking lot of Lowe's, and then we rode through the parking lot of Publix. I'm not going to even talk about Publix because I know people have to get food. But I tell you, there were so many people at Lowe's with their trucks. They were loading up flowers. They were herded together at the register checking out. You said, well, what's wrong with that? I believe they're just making a mockery. Again, I think, and when this thing got started, I felt like it was getting blown out of proportion in a lot of ways. But I'm going to tell you something. People are really dying. And there's a tragic thing that's going on. But yet, people seem, and there's some people that even perhaps would stay home from church, but they go everywhere else all the time. And I'm not saying come to church, stay home. But don't go everywhere else because you're just as apt to get it and maybe even more apt to get it there than you would here. And yet people sometimes ignore the very fact of what we need to be doing. Just get the necessities. If you got underlying conditions, there's people that'll help you. There's people that'll go for you. There's people that'll do in order that you don't have to get out. The scoffer speaks of the mockers, those who take lightly things they ought to take seriously. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I feel. Sometimes when I'm getting ready to preach, I lay awake at night, and I don't know if it's the devil giving me these thoughts or it's the Lord. But I think about, man, the Lord may just be testing us. The Lord may just be putting us through a test to see how serious we are. As far back as the days of Noah, Enoch, God had warned men that judgment was coming, even in Noah's day. Many of the Hebrew prophets had frequently prophesied of the day of the Lord. The message was not new, and it's thousands of years old now, but it's still just as real as it's ever been. You know what the scoffers were saying? Their son, our father, said that his return was near in their lifetime. And here it is years later. He still ain't come. Things have continued on as before. Nothing has changed from the beginning of time. Why should we believe that the coming of the Lord is drawing near? I remember years ago as a young boy where preachers used to preach what was called hellfire and damnation. I hope that I could be considered a little bit that way now. I need to be more so than I am. But I'm going to tell you something. Back in the day when I was a little boy, I heard preachers preach on prophecy, and sometimes their doctrine wasn't always right. But they sure made me want to get saved, and they made me want to heed the Word of God and do what was right rather than listen to the truth. But most of our preachers today, they're watering down the Word. They're powdering it up. They're patting people on the back and said, you know, you just do what's necessary. And even people, I've had people that just treat me very rudely because we're having church. You mean you're having church? Well, I am. At any point that I feel like it's a danger, we'll not allow folks to come. But friend, as long as God continues to work and we're able to do what we're able to do, I'm still going to obey God's word, and I'm still going to do what God would have me to do. We ought to look at the conviction of our fathers before us about the nearness of his coming. Peter tells us that the mockeries of the scoffers was an indication that his coming was near. I tell you, every now and then, I hear in the news there's some guy named Bill Maher. And I tell you, he makes me sick because he's nothing but a mocker of anything that's good. There's others all over. These Hollywood movie stars, they're scoffers. They make fun, not all of them, thank the good Lord, but many of them make fun of preachers preaching truth and Christianity. And I tell you what, I don't pin roses on anybody. I'm not saying what kind of a president we have or even what kind of governor we have, but I can tell you this, listening to them, they sure are a friend to Christians right now. And we ought to be grateful for the opportunity and the friendship that we have with them. In verse number 9, Peter mentions the mercy of the Savior. He said in verse 9, here's the mercy. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's long-suffering. You know what? I'm glad I got saved when I was 10 years old. But God's been merciful to me for 70 years. And had I not got saved, I still would have the opportunity to be saved by the mercy of God. The Lord's promise of his return will come at an appointed time. Yet Peter tells us the element of his long suffering was brought into play. So there's the people that deny the coming of the Lord. There's people that deny the nearness of the coming of the Lord. They said, oh, you're just crazy. You're off a rocker. You've flipped it. But then thirdly, there are those who display the sureness of the coming of the Lord. Might I say, those of you who have joined us today, you show me that you believe in the sureness of the coming of the Lord. In chapters 3, verses 10 through 18, and I'll just read them in a minute rather than read them all and then go back through them again. Peter now describes his third group. We find, beginning reading in verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 1 John 3:3, the scripture said, every man that has this hope, what hope? The hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Friend, I tell you today, I don't know it, but I'm longing today and I'm praying for God to get people's attention and bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ during this pandemic. And Lord, that we might see a real returning back to Christ. He was saying, if you're convinced of his return, if you believe he's going to return, then why don't you act like it? What if we're informed that Jesus was going to return tomorrow? Listen, and it's not going to happen. But suppose somebody on Fox News started to say one of the other channels, but you couldn't believe what they said. But anyway, if Fox News come on and said, this is for real. We've got firsthand knowledge. Jesus is coming tomorrow at 12 o'clock. Now, there'd be a lot of people that wouldn't believe it, but if they had real convincing news, I got a feeling that if church was on Sunday, I don't know where we'd put everybody, and I don't know how we'd minister to everybody for any period of time, because I believe people would be here. If we know Jesus is coming tomorrow, we're going to do it. Well, let me tell you something. That's never going to happen, but one day, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you know what he said? Comfort one another with these words. You see, the only word, a warning we got all the warning we need. God's been warning us for centuries and for years and for time after time. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversations and godliness? Peter said, in effect, since these things are going to happen, here's the kind of person you ought to be. In verse 12, he said we need to look for him. Verse number 12. He said, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Peter used two words there. First word he used was look. We need to be looking for him. I heard about it. This was a great illustration. There were some Scottish fishermen that one time had went out on their fishing vessel, and they'd be gone for days at a time. And when they would come back into shore, all of their wives and children would be down by the seashore, and they would be waiting on them. And they'd be looking for them. And as they get closer, the captain of the boat, of the one that was in charge. I guess he had binoculars. And he'd look and he'd say, well, there's Sally and there's Mary and John, there's your children and there's so-and-so. And he'd go through a name and a fellow named Angus stepped up and he said, sir, do you see my wife? And he said, I'm sorry, Angus, I don't see her. She's not there. He got there being alarmed that things was happening or something had happened to him. He ran past everybody that was there and he ran home as quickly as he could and he walked in the door. And there his wife sat very calmly. And here's what she said. She said, oh, Angus, I've been waiting for you. And he responded, the wives of the other men was watching for him. And I tell you today, there's a difference in waiting and watching for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter tells us in verse 14, not only should we look for him, that we should live for him. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and without blemish. On May the 19th, 1780, that was just back a few days when I was a little boy. That goes way back. People on the eastern seaboard noticed a strange haze begin to spread across their city. Eventually, a thick darkness had totally darkened in the middle of the day the eastern part of the United States. By 1 o'clock, it had turned into a panic. With this premature nightfall, as it continued, thousands began to crowd into the churches and their preachers began to expound the truth of the Lord. And they were convinced that this was the day of the Lord and this was his day of return. While this was going on in Hartford, Connecticut, both houses of representatives and legislature was meeting. And one of the houses dismissed their members and said, this is the day of the Lord. This is the end. You better go home. But the other body continued to go through it with great distress, but yet they were worried about what was going on. And finally, a man made a motion. He said, hey, I make a motion. We disband and get home to our families. This, I believe, is the day of God. But here's what one fellow said, a man by the name of Mr. Davenport, a Christian that loved God and trusted God. You know what he said? He said, Mr. Speaker, this is either the day of judgment or it is not. If it's not, there's no need to adjourning. But he said, if it is, I desire to be found doing my work. He said, I move that the candles be brought in and that we proceed to the business. And the meeting went on as suggested. Friend, when the Lord comes, I want to be found doing the work that he called me to do. I tell you today, we can panic and we can fear and we can run. But I tell you what, God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And friend, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm looking for the glorious appearing of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to give kind of an invitation right now. And I want them to continue on with the broadcast because I want to speak to the people that are at home. Friend, today I've preached the best of my ability to try to convince you that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But my question to you this morning is, your life been what it should have been all these years? Have you been doing for God what you should have been doing? I don't know the purpose. I don't know the reason. But do you know this thing could be the very beginning of the end? It could be the time of the Lord's coming back. Or it may be a time of testing. Maybe a time of where God's going to restore us back to where we were. But he may give us another opportunity. And friend, I plead with you today. Those of you that aren't coming, I plead with you when all this is over to come back with a zeal and a desire like you've never had before. To come back with your heart determined to trust God and love God and serve God. And I pray today that God will help you in all that you do. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to ask the pianist to begin invitations to him. You can just remain seated. I simply leave the altar open if any of you want to come and pray. I know you can pray where you're at, and that's fine too. But if you want to come, you may come, and we begin the invitation in just a moment. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I remember Brother Merrill Corb. He just comes to my mind this morning. I used to hear him preach often. He very seldom preached without saying the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Lord, I'm thankful this morning that I have the book. Lord, I thank you this morning that I'm covered by the blood. But Lord Jesus, with all that's going on, I'm thankful for the blessed hope of the coming of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if anybody fell within the first two categories, they'd get out of that category and get in the category of the sureness of his coming. Lord, we ask now your will be done. Guide and direct, we pray. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you would, just continue to pray. If you want to come to the altar's open. If I can help you, if you want to come to the pulpit, I'd be glad to talk to you.